downfield. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan gets on the punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!
And welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So glad you could join us with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. Lance Beto with you. Two ways to interact with us here on the program, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You could also chime in via Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat, and you can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Beto, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll get to your tweets in a little bit. Certainly, we'll delve into a number of different topics over the course of today's program. One thing that I want to bring to everybody's attention, and the Giants released their website yesterday, which focuses strictly on Odell Beckham. And I advise everybody to check it out when you have a free moment, to go to Giants.com, and there's an entire feature dedicated to Odell Beckham, more than just the catch. And the website basically follows him all the way from the time in which he was drafted through his stellar rookie campaign. There are videos, there are feature articles, there are tweets. It's a very interactive-based website. So if you have an opportunity, definitely try to check that out. And if you want to weigh in on anything in particular that you have seen on that website, feel free to give us a call. One thing that jumped out to me, and the Giants did a great job accessing this when they were putting the site together, they were able to get practice footage from LSU. And it just goes to show you what Odell Beckham was able to do dating back to his early college days, where he was making these tremendous one-handed catches, showcasing his athleticism. It was basically a daily ritual. It wasn't necessarily one thing every 4 or 5 months. He was doing this consistently, and they had obviously a great rookie class that came into the league, not just Odell Beckham, but you look at what Landry did with the Dolphins and Hill, the Bengals running back. So a number of those players made quite an impact, and you can even can throw in Zach Mettenberger, the rookie quarterback for Tennessee. But the Giants obviously focusing on their own, and that being Odell Beckham. And as I mentioned, a very interactive-based website, a number of good articles, features, and the videos. Certainly, when you have an opportunity, please do check that out. It's an entire day's worth of work because there's so much to navigate through. And speaking of Odell Beckham's website, we'll open up the conversation to a variety of topics, as we always do on this program, but we're starting to look at the offseason, and the Giants are going to start to evaluate the roster. Free agency doesn't get underway until March, so we do have some time till there is some wheeling and dealing, and teams are going to try to work on bringing back their usual suspects, not just the Giants, but everybody else around the league. I know a lot of people have brought up other free agents that may fit within the Giants' game plan. And as you know, when it comes to the NFL, a lot is based on the salary cap and who you can fit in within the constraints of the amount of money that you have to go out there and spend. But obviously, we're focusing on who the Giants have and who the Giants may want to re-sign and so forth. And speaking of Beckham, as I mentioned, you know, I think this would be a good opportunity to take a look at the Giants' receiving core. And if there's one area where I think the Giants have a tremendous amount of strength and depth, assuming obviously everybody returns to full health, is this receiving core. And we started to speculate a little during the course of the season, you know, with all three of these guys potentially on the field at the same time, and I'm referring to Odell Beckham along with Victor Cruz and Reuben Randall, the amount of damage that the Giants could do because they could be so creative, and the amount of headaches that that's going to cause for the opposition that they're going to go up against throughout the course of the 2015 campaign. And you look at what Beckham brings to the table, Cruz, Randall, you know, they all have their different strengths. Cruz and Beckham, the combination of the speed that they're going to bring to the table should give Reuben Randall even more favorable opportunities. And as the season progressed, you know, Randall finished out this campaign very strongly. He had a solid game against the Rams, and he had a few other contests that jump off the page. And it's that type of production that the Giants obviously want to see moving forward, in which they could build upon in 2015. Beckham, you hope, can continue to build upon his impressive rookie campaign. I mean, this is just the beginning for him. And obviously the question mark surrounding Victor Cruz is health. And clearly he's going to begin a very lengthy rehab process during the course of the offseason. if you had an opportunity, and the press conference is still on our website, Cruz at the end of the season spoke to the media and said that he's on schedule, and the goal is hopefully that he can return at some point during the course of training camp. The Giants are not going to rush him along, and he's not going to rush himself along, because the goal is obviously to have him ready to go for the full 16-game slate. So there is obviously a question mark surrounding Victor Cruz, but that's normal for any player coming back from a serious injury. But under the assumption that Cruz is ready to go, and what Beckham and Randall bring to the table, and all of those players are under contract, so there's no question marks in terms of who may come back, who is going to be on the roster, because you know you have that core. I mean, that is a great starting point with respect to the New York Giants. And then the goal is obviously to make sure that there is depth behind that. And you look at what some of the players brought to the table, it's easy to focus on all of the superstars when it comes to any position in the National Football League. And the three that I mentioned get a great deal of attention. But when you look at some of the guys at the back end of the depth chart this season who had an opportunity to step up, you know, Preston Parker is one player to note who was out of football the previous year. He had spent some time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he stepped up on special teams and within the receiving core as a result of the injuries, and was a weapon that Eli Manning built some continuity with. So that's a player who knows the system now, and may not have as many opportunities next season, depending on, obviously, the health of the three main weapons that I brought to the forefront. But you need those fourth, fifth, sixth options to help out, obviously, on special teams and with respect to perhaps going out there on third downs and so forth. And the Giants, obviously, had to deal with a number of injuries during the course of the season. That's why depth was so important. Another player to note who obviously was hurt during the course of the season but had a very strong training camp is Marcus Harris. Don't forget what he was able to do during the course of training camp as well as the preseason. You know, depending on his full health, you know, he could certainly be an option within the Giants' game plan this coming season as well. So that's another name not to necessarily lose sight of. But Parker, to me, was the one player that had an opportunity and took full advantage. And Corey Washington's name is obviously going to come up. He's a popular name amongst the fan base, mainly because, like Marcus Harris, he had a very strong preseason. He had a very strong training camp. And he's still very young. And as the Giants coaching staff mentioned during the course of the season, as well as their postseason press conferences, you know, he also is still touching the surface of his potential and his upside. But you need the Corey Washingtons of the world, you need the Preston Parkers of the world, players that are familiar with the system and are hungry to learn and to constantly improve to be on your roster. And that's obviously what the Giants are going to look to during the course of this offseason, to round out that receiving core so that there's some added depth. Because when you look at the three main weapons that they're going to rely on, obviously health is always a factor that you can't necessarily guarantee. But once again, under the premise that everybody is going to be ready to go, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better trio than Cruz, Beckham, and Randall in the National Football League. Or forget the league, how about just looking within the NFC East? And you see what the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Cowboys have to offer. And Philadelphia, Dallas, and Washington, obviously, like the Giants, all had to deal with injuries specifically to that position. Dallas has Dez Bryant, who is a free agent. They could certainly use the franchise tag on him, but he is right now a question mark. It's unlikely that he'll leave the Cowboys. I'm sure they're going to find a way to bring him back. But, you know, outside of Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley had a very strong season for them as a complementary weapon. And the growth of Terrence Williams, who is a young up-and-coming wide receiver. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles, Jeremy Maclin had a very strong comeback season after missing the previous year with a torn ACL. They have Jordan Matthews, who's a young up-and-coming prospect. The Washington Redskins, DeSean Jackson, he dealt with some injuries during the course of the season. Pierre Garçon is certainly still a strong option within that receiving core. And Andre Roberts, who they brought over from the Arizona Cardinals. So, you know, each one of these teams has a number of different options. But when you look at the dynamics that the Giants bring to the table, I'm not so sure that another team is matching the youth that the Giants have. A lot of these other teams are relying on veteran options. With the Giants, you have, remember, Reuben Randall's still on a rookie contract. You know, we get used to saying his name over and over, and you think this player has 10 or 15 years in the league. Now, Reuben Randall's still on the rookie contract. He is young, based on the definition of this league. And Cruz is still young, too. He hasn't necessarily been in the league for many years, and Beckham obviously was drafted at this point last year. So that nucleus, the fact that you could build around that moving forward, you know, that should get this Giants fan base extremely excited. And we can delve into some other positions. I know on yesterday's show, John opened up the conversation about positions over across the landscape of this Giants roster and where you think the most strength is, where you think the Giants may want to round out the depth chart. We can continue that conversation, certainly. But I think it's important with respect to, obviously, this website being launched on Giants.com that the focus at least stay within the realm of the wide receiver core, mainly because so much attention is going towards Odell Beckham, and he was named Rookie of the Year this past weekend prior to the Super Bowl, deservedly so. But I think there should be a lot of excitement surrounding this receiving core, and that is going to obviously do wonders for Eli Manning. And Manning had a tremendously impressive season, a big bounce-back campaign. I even thought that he should have gotten some consideration for comeback player of the year based on what he was able to do in the first year of an offense with a number of some new talent around him and making the most of that. And now you bring him into year two of this offense with the receiving weapons around him. There is certainly a lot of upside and a lot of excitement around this offense. 201-939-4513, that is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can also follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We're going to open up the phone lines here on the program. As we mentioned, we'll also get to your tweets. So if you can't get to the phone line, certainly you can delve into the conversation on multiple fronts, and you can send us a tweet in on social media. We will certainly address a number of your questions and comments during the course of the program. Let's first head to the lines. Antoine is in the ATL. Antoine, what's happening?
Oh, I'm doing good. Before I get into what I say, I just want to say rest in peace to Aaron Vera.
All right, Anto, we got a bad connection. I'm going to let you go. If you have an opportunity to give us a ring back, give us a ring, and we'll try to get you back up and running. And I believe, obviously, he was sending his condolences to the Giants family from what I heard about the recent passing of Ann Mara, and certainly we as the Giants organization echo his sentiments. Let's head back to the phone line. Steph is in Illinois. Steph, what's happening? Stephen, what's happening?
What's going on, Lance? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Steph. Doing well. How's everything with you?
I'm good. I'm the type of person that would want to do more of a, have our players be more homegrown instead of doing more free agency. Now, I understand that, you know, if there's a big name out there, we should try to get them depending on the right price. But, you know, it's better if we have our players more homegrown. Now, I don't like to look at what the Packers did, like, in the last few years and stuff like that. I don't like to look at previous teams when they bring them up all the time. I like to look back in more of a Giants history. Most of our Giants history, we had more homegrown draft picks than the free agents. What do you think that we should do this year? Instead of, should we go more free agent, even though we got a lot of free agents last year, or should we do more draft?
Well, I think in an ideal world, to answer your question, Stephen, you'd like to see a balance between the both worlds, but you alluded to the fact that you're in favor of the Giants utilizing that homegrown talent, and they went in that direction last year. I can't remember so many rookies that were part of the incoming draft class that made an immediate impact. Now, part of it was due to injuries, but they certainly took advantage of their opportunities, and I think that the Giants are very pleased with the production they got out of this rookie class. So each and every year, obviously the goal is continue to build around this young nucleus. Why? Because as you know, when it comes to the salary cap, you only have so much funding that you could dedicate towards free agency. And utilizing one of the things that John Mara mentioned in his end-of-the-season press conference, he said that he'd be surprised if the Giants were as aggressive in free agency. So to answer your question, I think the Giants are going to look to have another very strong draft class, so to have a number of guys on rookie contracts that they can build upon. And I'm not sure what's going on in the background there, but in terms of the rookie class, I think that's what the goal number one is. And then you try to round out some of the voids and some of the holes that you have through free agency. But keep this in mind, and I'm sure you've seen this during the course of the last few NFL seasons, the teams that win an NFL free agency, and what I mean by that, that may make the big splashes, spend the most money, it doesn't necessarily always translate to the football field.
Yeah. Two more points. I know everybody's down the middle on Spagnuolo. Do you think that they'll try to draft more in the area of what Spagnuolo needs for the D-line, or do you think they're going to go for what Spagnuolo needs in the linebacker?
Well, I think that he's probably going to want to add depth in both positions, and I think a lot of it depends, Stefan, on free agency, how that plays out. You know, we know that the Giants have some young options on the defensive line, specifically a guy like Jonathan Hankins. So, you know, that's a player that you could build around, as well as DeMondre Moore, you know, two young players. And Robert Ayers, who was a great addition in free agency from the Denver Broncos. So, you know, they have a nice mix on the defensive line. At linebacker, I think a lot depends on the health of John Beeson. Jamil McClain certainly could provide depth at the middle linebacker spot and on the outside, and Devon Kennard. So you look at both positions, there is a mixture right now. As the roster stands with youth as well as veteran leadership, the goal, like any position, is you want to try to add some depth. I think Spags is probably going to give his opinion, as the Giants have mentioned year in and year out. And, Stefan, appreciate the phone call. We're getting some background noise, so I'm going to let you go here. Just like they do each and every season, you know, the coaching staff gives its opinions, the front office gives its opinions, and everybody throws in their own perspective, and that's how they determine where they want to go via free agency and the draft. So this offseason is not going to be any different than that. You look at what Spags was known when he was here the first time around as defensive coordinator. A lot of people associate the blitz and him having a knack for coming up with schemes to get to the quarterback. So obviously I'm sure they're going to look at it from that perspective. But keep this in mind. The Giants' philosophy has always been to bring in as many pass rushers as humanly possible. There are years where maybe you look at the roster and you say that's not necessarily the biggest need, but they find that the best player available on the board is a pass rusher, and they'll bring him into the mix. So while we always look and we say, well, you know, the Giants could use this, the Giants could use that, at the end of the day, if there is a top-tier player around in round one, and it may not necessarily be a position of great need, at least the way it looks right now on paper, that doesn't mean the Giants are going to pass up on a golden opportunity to go after a playmaker. We've seen them do that in the past. So, you know, that's what it really comes down to. I think that there's a nice mix of youth and veteran presence on the line. The goal is, like any offseason, you just hope everybody can stay healthy. I mean, that is priority number one. But Devon Kennard, keep in mind, he is a versatile linebacker, and it goes beyond the linebacker position. You could bring Kennard up to the line, and you could utilize him from that perspective. And I mentioned this on previous shows, if there is any player to watch out for under Spags' scheme, I would probably pinpoint Devon Kennard. You look at what Spags is known for, his creativity, and getting the most out of players who are either young or perhaps are classified as unknown commodities, and Kennard fits into that criteria, the former. Who knows what he can utilize with respect to Kennard, given the fact that he worked in so many different systems when he was at USC, and that was one of the most prevalent storylines during the course of this past season. The fact that you could throw him into any scheme, and he's probably going to thrive. He's going to find his own. Once Spags gets a hold of him during the course of this offseason, watch out. I certainly think that that is a player that they don't necessarily need to bring into the mix. He already understands what the Giants want to do. It's just a matter of him getting comfortable within Spags' scheme. Let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. Nuggs is in Minnesota. Nuggs, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Doing well, Nuggs. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to chime in on the sentiments going on today. I'm a big fan of our best defense is a great offense, and so if we're I know we need to get some work on the O line. I know we need to get some work on the D line. I know we need a linebacker. I think we should address middle linebacker and free agency. I'm a big Brandon Spikes guy or Jasper Brinkley. I think we can get either one of those guys. Leave McClain where he's at. Leave Kennard where he's at as a rush linebacker with very limited cover skills, even though I think he's athletic enough to cover, but I'd like to see him putting that extra pressure on a quarterback all the time. I think in the draft, if we draft at nine, even I say let's get Eli some more weapons, because Eli's got like 5, 6, maybe 7 good years left, and he could have some young guns, some young studs to be throwing the ball to in the twilight of his career. You know what I mean? And these are guys who turn around and be veterans when the next quarterback comes in to replace Eli or whatever. You know what I mean? But I'm a big fan of...
Well, Nugs, let me ask you this. I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue. Yeah, so you, cool. In your opinion, I just want to get this clear. You think that they should go after another wide receiver is what you're alluding to. Or are you talking... Because when you say weapons around Eli Manning, that can mean running back. It can mean tight end. So are you talking wide receiver or you just want to see an offensive weapon in some capacity?
I want us to take the most explosive offensive weapon available on the board. I was looking at. I don't think we should touch the running backs. I think Rashad Jennings is a good backup. I think that I want to see Andre Williams take that starting job. I'm comfortable with the youth movement there. Of course, we've got Odell Beckham. I don't think Cruz is going to ever come back and be 100%. I said it today, whatever today's date is, I think Cruz is going to come back and be like 80%, which is good. Move him back to the slot. And then I like the way Reuben Randall stepped his game up because he's like, oh, yeah, this young buck from my alma mater, he just can't, what? You just going to come in and kill me like that? And that competition made Reuben Randall step his game up. But I would love to see Corey Washington because then Eli would have the best of both worlds. He would have, in Odell Beckham, he would have a dynamic Victor Cruz on Dubs. That's what Odell is to me. He's like Victor Cruz in his prime on 25s. Okay? And then we got Reuben Randall on the other side. Move Cruz back to the slot. I can see Cruz doing the Julian Edelman thing all day for Eli.
Well,
yeah.
Nugs, keep in mind, the greatest thing about the Giants receiving corps right now is all of these players you can move around. Cruz could go to the outside.
Yeah.
He could be in the slot. Beckham could be in the slot. Beckham could go to the outside. So, I mean, those are good problems to have, and the Giants showcased that this past season. They'll move guys around.
I don't think Cruz is going to have the speed and separation we're going to need for him to be outside threat, but he can kill over the middle all day.
Regarding that. Time remains to be seen. I mean, we really don't know what to expect from him. We got a long off season ahead, and you know, I think the goal is to get ahead in his rehab process and see what he could do with OTAs as well as training camp, and they'll take it from there. But you know, keep in mind, it's February. Season doesn't start till September. That's a lot of months for Victor Cruz to get back to 100%.
Players who get those patella tendon injuries, that's different from like an ACL or MCL.
Correct. It is a different injury.
You know, and a lot of times guys do not come back. There's very few success. A caller yesterday brought that up, and I looked into it myself. When he brought that up, I was like, yeah, guys with patella tendon injuries, their numbers just dip. So that must be some different kind of injury that, you know, dudes who have those quick twitch type plays, you know, they don't come back. But I can see us taking the stress off of Cruz by letting him work against linebackers, letting him work against nickel corners, letting him work the middle of the field, which is I'm more comfortable with that. You know what I mean? If we can give Eli another big target, we already know Beckham is a target. It, big, small, however you want to, it doesn't matter how big Beckham is. He's a dog. He's going to go get it. I want to see Eli have like another Plaxico Burris type, you know, I can just throw it up in space, you know, and Reuben Randall could be that guy. I see him stepping his game up because the competition level got stepped up at that position. But if Corey Washington can beat Reuben Randall for that starting position, we're going to the Super Bowl.
All right, Nugs. Well, listen, appreciate the phone call. With respect to his last point about height and how important that may be with respect for the Giants, look at some of the impactful wide receivers, specifically in the postseason. Julian Edelman's a small guy for the New England Patriots. Danny Amendola, both of those guys came up big for Tom Brady. I mentioned Cole Beasley earlier in the show. He's a small guy for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't necessarily think you need big wide receivers to automatically have success in the NFL. Randall Cobb for the Green Bay Packers. A lot of these guys are not necessarily huge targets like the Plaxico Burris, who Nugs just alluded to. So, you know, I don't know if that necessarily should be the best indication. Oh, let's bring in a wide receiver just because he's 6'4". I think that you have a number of different wide receivers in the NFL who have made quite an impact on this landscape. The Giants have had a mixture. Odell Beckham, it doesn't matter how big he is, doesn't matter how small he is. He's aggressive. He wants the football. As long as you have a wide receiver that wants the football, to me it makes no difference how tall they are or how small they are. The bottom line is they have that dog in them. They have that fight in them. And that's exactly what Odell Beckham showcased during the course of the season. Cruz has showcased that. And Randall, when he's been able to take advantage of his opportunities, he showcased that aggressiveness. And I alluded to his strong finish. I'm bringing up his game log right now. I touched on that Rams game. 6 receptions off 6 targets for 132 yards and a touchdown. And then the following week against the Eagles, 6 catches for 158 yards. Now, that was on 13 targets. So he was targeted 19 times over the final 2 games, and he caught the ball 12 times, and he had at least 130 in each game. And there was a game this season against San Francisco where he had 112, and there were games where he had in that 80 ballpark, that 70 ballpark. But earlier in the season, it came and it went. Later in the season, there was a little bit more continuity and a little bit more consistency, and that's what the Giants want to see moving forward. Beckham and Cruz on the field at the same time. I mean, just think about the types of corners that Randall would see hypothetically under those situations. If you make Beckham and Cruz priority number 1 and 2, if you're the opposing defense, Randall could very well see the third corner, depending on obviously where he's lined up. I mean, that is a golden opportunity for a player like Randall. So there is plenty of upside, especially with all three of them on the field at the same time. It's just a matter of Randall being able to build upon his strong finish from this past season. That's what you'd like to see from him moving forward. Let's head back to the phone lines, and we check in with Keith in Kentucky. Keith, what's happening?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Lance?
I'm doing well, Keith. How about yourself? What you got?
I'm doing all right. I agree with both of y'all on this, but I'm an offensive line guy first. I want the kid from Iowa, the offensive lineman from Iowa, but I don't think he's going to be there. Now, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, but I hate Louisville. I can't stand Louisville. I'm a Kentucky fan, right? With the 9th pick, the wide receiver from Louisville, Parker, he will be there. And I want an offensive lineman, but I don't think he's going to be there. Like I said, the kid Parker plays like Hakeem Nicks, but he's consistent. That's the only thing the Giants are really missing at the wide receiver position, because Cruz is consistent, Beckham is consistent, Randall and the rest are inconsistent.
Well, you're
if we can get some consistency.
I'm sorry, I was going to say you're referring to Devontae Parker, correct? The senior out of Louisville.
Right.
That's who you're alluding to. 6'3", 208, so certainly he has some size. But, you know, I think it goes back to the fact that, you know, are the Giants going to be in a position when they are ready to draft in round number one, Keith, where they just want to take the best talent, who could very well be a Parker, hypothetically, or do they want to go in the direction of a position where maybe there's a little bit of greater need? I could see them obviously going in a variety of different ways, which they've showcased in years past. I think that's really what it's
right.
going to come down to.
That's why I want the offensive lineman, because if we can get the offensive line from Iowa, Pugh can go inside, and I really think that's the best situation for us, because then we can get that run game going. I really want the run game to get going, because I see nothing but great things for Williams if we can get it going. You know, the line got to get that push. But, you know, if we don't get it, and I wouldn't mind a linebacker either. I wouldn't mind stepping down, you know, trading with somebody and getting a linebacker either, because they got some pretty good linebackers. Not great, but they got pretty good outside linebackers that could help. That's all I got.
All right, Keith. Well, appreciate the phone call, and referring to the Iowa offensive lineman, Brendan Scherff, who we have brought up sometimes on this program. A lot of people have alluded to him. You know, it all depends on how he does in the combine and how high he's going to go. Obviously, he's one of the most highest-rated offensive linemen within this year's class. So right now it's a game of speculation whether or not he would be there when the Giants are ready to make their selection. With that being said, obviously there's a lot of upside connected to him. And there is a lot of upside connected to a number of other players. We've got a long way to go because you still have the combine. You still have a lengthy process for these players to either increase their stocks or perhaps lower their stocks. Remember, the Senior Bowl is only one facet of the equation when it comes to evaluating some of the players that are going to be heading into the draft. With respect to some of the other things that Keith was getting into to determine what direction the Giants want to go in, with respect to this offseason, and he was touching on the linebacker position, and I bring this up all the time. The last time the Giants took a linebacker in round number one was our colleague Carl Banks. So it has been quite some time. That doesn't mean that that trend and that track record is not going to end, but you know, also look at what the Giants have currently on the roster. And I also bring this up time and time again on the show. Before everybody starts to dissect and say they need this, they need that, you know, the team is going to see what they have right now. And you look at that linebacker position, I understand a lot of people constantly refer to John Beeson's injury history, but putting Beeson aside for a second, you know, Kennard is coming off a great rookie campaign. Jameel McClain was moved around in a variety of positions, and you need that player who, in a pinch, can play middle. He could play outside. Because injuries happen in this league, as the Giants had to deal with during the course of this offseason. So there are options. There are weapons at that linebacker position. Like any other position, you want to be able to add some depth, and they are going to have some free agents at that position too. So that's another reason why that is going to be an area that they'll likely focus on during the course of this offseason, because a number of the players that they had drafted in previous years, their rookie contracts are going to expire, and they will have the opportunity to test the market. And one player in particular, obviously, is Jaquan Williams, who is going to be a free agent since his rookie contract has expired. Jaquan Williams, a versatile linebacker. He's dealt with his fair share of injuries during the course of his Giants tenure, so that is one player that they're going to have to evaluate moving forward. But a player that they use the same principles that they have with other players, bring them in young, groom them, and get the most out of these players while they are on those rookie contracts. Another player who's going to be a free agent is obviously Spencer Paysinger. So, you know, that's another player who was brought in terms of the youth movement. If you were to lose one or two of those players, obviously they're going to have to bring in some other bodies to add some more depth to the equation. Let's head back to the phone lines. Appreciate everybody chiming into the conversation here on Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lance Meadow with you. We'll get to your tweets as well during the course of this program. Right now, hearing what you have to say on the phone lines, Chris is in Bayonne. Chris, what's happening?
How you doing, Lance? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Chris. How's everything with you?
I can't complain. You just alluded to the entire roster and the under 25-year-old players on this team, the youth movement, as we talk about. Yeah, we had a good players last year with Hankins, a couple. We had a great draft this year, except for the seventh pick. He wound up on the practice squad, which behoozles me a lot of times. But here's my deal. ESPN did a poll about 25 and under players on teams throughout the league. Last year and this year, even though we had a good draft this year, we're still ranked 25th in the league. We have not done a good job in picking players, and a lot of them are up. Their contracts are up for expiration. I understand that. And they are evaluating. Yes, they are. And I'm sure they've already evaluated the players on this team. And we need to go out and just bundle the players that are not fitting in our depth chart and go out in this draft and just draft them. Number one draft pick is a whole different ballgame. You got to pick the best available player, maybe an offensive guy that can really do something really nice. But they need to have, like last year, they picked a lot of captains. Maybe they got to go that route again and fill this roster and get to depth, because this particular new football age that we're playing, it's speed, speed, speed. It's all about covering. And this wide receiver comment, my last comment about the wide receivers, and then I'll hear your comments off the phone. We need, like in the Super Bowl, you had the two guys, Edelman and the other guy, like really getting into their breaks and really breaking out real fast. Lance, I really believe it's really about speed today in this game, and I don't think we have enough of speed, even in our linebacker core. And with that said, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Chris. Appreciate the phone call. A number of things that he touched upon. Number one, referring to the seventh-round pick for the Giants, who ended up on the practice squad. Keep in mind that also was related to an injury. So it wasn't necessarily that they were just trying to dump him off on the practice squad. He wasn't 100%. So don't overlook that fact, at least when you look at the draft. Overall, the draft was solid last year, and that showed in terms of how many players got not just starting experience, but overall playing time. One of the points that he brought up, the last caller, with respect to the nature of this league was about the speed of the game, with respect to defense as well as offense. Look at how offenses are producing during the course of this past season, the number of points that are being put up, and also the fast-paced offenses that have been brought to the forefront. You look at what the Philadelphia Eagles have done. A number of teams are involved in that hurry-up type of offensive philosophy. So if you're going to go up against these type of offenses week in and week out, clearly you want speedy players, but you also want smart players. It's not necessarily just all about speed. It's also having guys, and he alluded to this with the Giants bringing in a lot of captains who had that role in college. you know, players who understand schemes, can digest systems, and make adjustments on the fly. And I think that, to me, has more value than necessarily bringing in the fastest potential defense. You do want guys that can move, and you want those defensive linemen that could track down the running backs and get after the quarterbacks. But if you have smart, savvy players and they play well-disciplined, that, to me, can overcome speed because that means that the players are going to be in the right position. So I think you really want, in an ideal world, you want a combination of both. I don't know necessarily if you need the quickest defense humanly possible. If you look at what some of the teams have done that have been consistent, Seattle's defense, I mean, would you describe Seattle's defense as fast? I think that they have certain aspects of that, but I also think Seattle's defense is full of depth, and it enables them to bring in players in the third and fourth quarter who are not necessarily tired. You look at their pass rush. You know, they don't have just one option. They don't have just two options. They have three, four, five options, and the Giants have been trying to do that over the last few seasons too. You don't just want to rely on two defensive ends. You want to have three or four, and if you can rotate them during the course of the game, you know, that obviously is a huge advantage to you. The corners that the Seahawks had, and I'm just using Seattle since Seattle obviously represented the NFC in the Super Bowl to put them up against the speed barometer. Richard Sherman's not necessarily the fastest guy in the National Football League. Maxwell, I wouldn't classify him as the fastest guy, those being the two corners. They have size, so that certainly gives them an advantage. With respect to the safety spot, Earl Thomas is a fast guy, but he's on the small side. Cam Chancellor's a big guy. I don't know, once again, if the best way to describe the Seattle defense would be based on speed. So now everybody does it their own way. The Giants have staples of speed on defense. They have staples of speed on offense. But as I mentioned, you also want those smart, savvy players, which is what the last caller touched on. If you could get the ideal combination of both, you know, that certainly is a big step in the right direction. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Before we head back to the phone lines, let me just take a quick glance on Twitter. I don't want to ignore any of the tweets. I know a number of you don't have an opportunity to get to the phone lines, so certainly you try to send in your messages via Twitter. And let's take a look at some of these comments here. Avery at TQManAF. Talking about the wide receiver core. Hope Preston Parker comes back to show his worth. He was an asset, and those that couldn't see it don't know what they were looking at. And I would echo the sentiments that Avery just mentioned here on Twitter. I think Preston Parker is a player that he falls under the radar because obviously he's not a big-name commodity, and that goes without saying. But what he was able to do for the Giants in a period of time where, you know, they were banged up at that position, they had lost Victor Cruz. Odell Beckham had missed the first few games. Randall dealing with some ups and downs. You know, Parker became the go-to guy. And he had a big game, don't forget, against the Seattle Seahawks. Hostile territory. That's the one game that jumps out to me. Not necessarily from a special team standpoint. If you look at what Parker did in that game as a receiver, now that's a big reason why that game was neck and neck for three quarters. You look at the final score, and everybody says it was a lopsided game. And if you didn't watch any of that contest, that's a fair sentiment. You watch that game, Giants were with the Seahawks for three quarters. Things started to break apart in that fourth quarter. Big reason why receivers made plays for Eli Manning. And they were also able to have some success on the ground. Parker is one guy who deserves a great deal of credit for coming up big in that Seahawks game. And he also provided some stability on special teams when Beckham was not ready to be that primary return guy. So a veteran player who understands the system, you need players like that to round out your roster. Don't overlook those type of players. That's why when a lot of people were weighing in a little bit early in the program, which direction should the Giants go? Should it be total youth movement? Should it be an aggressive free agency approach? In an ideal world, as I mentioned, you want the best of both worlds. You want to be able to also throw in, don't forget, some undrafted free agents. I mean, think about the Giants' track record in that department, bringing in players who may want to get a tryout here or there. They make a name for themselves, whether it be a Victor Cruz, whether it be a Larry Donnell. You could find some gems that way, too, and the Giants have certainly showcased that over the last few years. Let's continue to take a look at some of the tweets here in terms of the receiving core. A lot of people focusing on the topic at hand. Big Dash 07088 at Colways 88. All we need is Corey Washington to get comfortable with his assignments. If he can get in the top four rotation, we will certainly be straight. He also goes on to say, if we go four wide with Beckham, Cruz, Randall, and Washington, no one is stopping us. So I could tell already the fan base echoing some of the sentiments that were showcased on this program, the fact that on paper it looks pretty good, and it's hard to argue against that. Everybody stays healthy. This is a very nice receiving core. And there were times where this group wasn't healthy, and they still made plays for Eli Manning. So if they're able to come back full strength, I think there's a great deal of depth currently on the roster as it stands right now. And it's just a matter of building more continuity during the course of training camp. Remember, Corey Washington, this was year one, not just learning a new system, but also getting his taste of the NFL. This was year one in the NFL for Odell Beckham, at the same time getting a taste of a new offense. Cruz has been there and had done that, but also he was still getting acclimated to a new offense in Randall. So, you know, this is still at the early stages is what I'm trying to sell here, that even though there is a mix of veterans and youth, everyone was still gelling at the same point. You throw now an entire offseason into the mix to see what that can come out of. I mean, that could obviously do wonders to this nucleus. Let's head back to the phone lines. We'll also check in on some more of your tweets, so continue to send them in during the course of this program. But right now, 201-939-4513 is the focus. Lance Meadow with you here on Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. And we check in with James in Rhode Island. James, what's happening?
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Doing well, James. How about yourself?
I want to go over how you bring back Steve Spagnuolo, the history of the Giants defense, and then you also have to go with the history of the defensive line. I'm a big believer in getting Ndamukong Suh and JPP. I don't know how that would work in cap room, but I feel like if you Ndamukong wants to come here because of endorsements and because of how he wants to hit New York City, if you give him incentive on that and maybe lower his salary cap so you could have the two, I feel that would really work with the double team on JPP and the double team on Ndamukong Suh.
Well, you also need to keep in mind, I think Jonathan Hankins has emerged as a tremendous asset for the Giants at that defensive tackle spot. Not that they don't need depth at that position. They're always looking for depth. But to get back to Ndamukong Suh, you know, clearly it comes down to finances, and let's see what the Lions do. Remember, he is a free agent, but I'm sure the Lions, like any other team, is going to want to do their due diligence in bringing back their own players. So, you know, we're assuming he's going to hit the market. Keep in mind, James, we don't know. The Lions could be aggressive. They could scoop him up, and then he doesn't even have an opportunity.
Do you think they could scoop up Nick Fairley, though, and Ndamukong?
Well, I don't know enough about the Lions' finances. It would be mainly speculation at this point. Clearly, they also have some other positions. Once again, it comes down to finances. It's very hard for any team each and every offseason to keep every player that is going to hit the market. I think that, obviously, the Giants, from their perspective, you know, JPP is a player they're going to look carefully at. Why? Because they know JPP well. And Ndamukong Suh, like any other free agent, you know, you've seen him, what he's been able to do with the Lions. Every fan's seen him, but that doesn't mean that he is an ideal fit for the Giants. These are the type of questions that they're going to have to answer as they go through the free agency period. JPP, you have a little bit more familiarity. It's a little bit easier to evaluate him.
Right. And I've heard that we're looking in the agency to get a running back, and they're saying veteran or maybe new blood. What do you think about that?
Well, you have Rashad Jennings coming back. Clearly, they hope that he can get back to full health. He dealt with his fair share of injuries. Andre Williams coming off a very nice rookie campaign. Then, on the back end, the goal would be to round it out with either a combination of some young players or perhaps another veteran. I could easily see them going in both directions. I could see the Giants bringing in a veteran running back, and I could see them drafting somebody as well. You can never have enough running backs, and I think the Giants have seen that, not just this past season. Don't forget all the injuries they dealt with, James, during the course of 2013. I mean, that was
a season in which they
went through a number of running backs. Brandon Jacobs, you had Peyton Hillis, you had Michael Cox.
Didn't have Wilson.
Correct. David Wilson got hurt at one point during that season against the Eagles. So, you know, when you say draft versus free agency, they could easily bring in both directions because that's a position that gets banged up during the course of an NFL campaign.
All right,
James.
Have a good day.
You got it, James. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Let's head back to the lines. Stas is in D.C. Stas, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Lance? How are you?
I'm doing well, Stas. How's everything with you?
Everything is good. So just I want to hit a couple of points just from listening to the calls today. So the whole Ruben Randle thing, my opinion is he has to prove it to me. I don't trust the guy. And last year he did have some highs, you know. He set his own personal records on a couple of things. But he did the same thing the year before that and the same thing the year before that. He'll flash like two or three games where he's lights out and then he disappears. So me personally, I don't think Randle – until Randle shows me a season of consistency, and I don't mean by the end he has X amount of yards. I mean every game I can say, hey, I can count on Randle for three catches, X amount of yards, four catches, X amount of yards. Until that happens, I don't trust the guy because he just disappears way too often for me.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind, and I understand based on the track record that you're alluding to, Stas, and I think that there has been some ups and downs, and the numbers showcase that. It's not as if you're going out on a tangent, but how about this? Has Randle been on the field enough with a healthy Victor Cruz and a healthy Odell Beckham where he's had this many weapons around him where it takes further pressure off of him? So, you know, that's another area that I'd like to see him personally go and basically take advantage of that opportunity because he hasn't been on the field much with Beckham and Cruz both healthy. He's been on the field at times with Beckham, but Cruz went down and vice versa. So we really haven't seen him with all three of those guys on the field at the same time. That, to me, could take his consistency to a whole other area.
I agree, but what I like to do is I like to see, okay, so for example, 2011 Cruz versus 2012 Cruz, right? 2012 Cruz didn't produce what 2011 Cruz produced because he had a healthy Hakeem Nicks, right? However, 2012 Cruz was still a 1,000-yard passer. 2013 Cruz was 6 yards shy of 1,000 yards because he hurt his knee and missed the last three games. You know, like, that's what I'm talking about, consistency. And he was dealing with being the only guy, and everyone was keying in on him, and he was still able to put yards. The only thing that dipped on Cruz was in touchdowns because they would just beat him up in the red zone because they knew he was the go-to guy. My thing about Ruben Randle is I've seen him drop balls that hit him right in the hand and no one's around him. And I've seen him do that often because he has, like, in my opinion, I feel like he has concentration issues. He will make the miraculous catch, but he won't make the catch where he's open with 5 yards in front of him and hits him square in the numbers. That's the catch he drops. That's what I'm talking about, a consistency. He just doesn't seem like he consistently keeps his head in the game to me. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, and that goes back to practice and making sure, obviously, that the quarterback and the wide receiver are on the same page and everything translates over to games. And I think with another offseason, year two in the offense, you know, that should only help Ruben Randle's development. But consistency is certainly an area that you want to see out of him where you're right, where he could get one game where he hauls in 6 to 7 catches, assuming, obviously, that he's open. You don't just want to press the envelope and force it on him and then come back with another game where you have similar numbers so that all of a sudden when you're going up against the Giants, it's not just Cruz and Beckham. You also need to start the game plan for Randle, because if you have to start the game plan for Randle, that means that your offense is certainly clicking.
Right, exactly. When it comes to free agency, I'd like us to explore tight ends only because I like Larry Nunno, but I don't know if he's the long-term answer. I think he's been a good stopgap unless he does some really good improvement around his blocking scheme. I would like to and I like the kid, I really do, but that's something that I would like us to look for in free agency and in the draft. Obviously, the first – I mean, I echo with I think it was Ricky's sentiment. I love Brandon Sheriff out of Iowa State. I feel like – you plug him in and move Pugh inside, I feel like we have a road-grading offense that we can run or pass on you. I think some people confused with the Seahawks defense, and you touched this. Like, this isn't a fast defense, but people got to understand, and I live here in Washington. I have to see all their games. The one thing about the Seahawks is, you know, they only run two things. They run a soft zone press. They run a soft zone, or they run a zone press scheme. And what's good about that, and because their linebackers are what's really key. Their linebackers, they have good cover linebackers.
Correct. Well, you look at what Bobby Wagner did for them when Bobby Wagner came back from injury. I mean, that was a big turning point in their defense this season.
Exactly, because when their linebackers can cover, they really only run two schemes. And the one thing you'd never see in the Seahawks when you watch their games is you don't find them out of position. And that's because their defense isn't out there because they're fast, or it's not even because they're big. It's because it's so simple that they don't get confused on who's supposed to correct. There's not a lot of handoffs. They have specific zones, and they always stick to them play after play, unless they're in a blitz situation, and then they go man-to-man. So they still keep it simple for their back four guys. And that's why I think the Seahawks do really well. The only reason why that's hard to emulate is because you got to have the perfect pieces. Like, your personnel has to be perfect for that scheme. So it's like you were saying before, it's not because they're fast or anything like that. It's because it's really that schematically, it's a perfect scheme for the perfect personnel they have.
And they have a well-disciplined defense, which is what I was alluding to earlier. I mean, I think a lot of people get caught up in speed, but you want those smart, savvy players who know their assignments and don't necessarily take huge risks and are not going to be caught out of position. And part of Seattle's success is based on, like you said, the linebacking core setting the tone. And also, let's not forget, you know, their corners are extremely aggressive, where they press a lot of guys at the line as opposed to letting them have the free will to dance around at the line of scrimmage. So that, I think, at least helps the pass rush. And then if the pass rush is clicking, obviously that's going to buy the secondary more time.
Yeah, absolutely right. And lastly, Lance, just one more thing is, even though I know it sounds incredibly sexy to say Ndamukong Suh, New York Giant, it's not going to happen, and there's several reasons for that. And I think, like, the fan base, we just need to wrap our head around this, because what's going to happen is we're going to get frustrated with our offseason and what we did because we didn't pick up Sue. But there's some factors we got to think about, all right? One, we actually have a franchise quarterback, so we got to pay out, okay? To get Sue, you're going to pay out, and think J.J. Watt money, okay? Not only that, can you imagine a world – where Ndamukong Suh is going to work with Tom Coughlin? I can't. Because Tom Coughlin is not going to tolerate the nonsense that this guy has put out on the field. And Tom, you know, like that's not Giant. He's not a Giant. Yeah, I get it. He's an amazing talent. But Giants are – what do you – since Plaxico Burress, you don't see Giants in the news.
Well, and Stas, I appreciate the phone call, and you're right. Personality is a part of the evaluation process. It's not just what a player does on the field. It's about whether or not they also fit within the culture of this franchise. And I think Stas did hit on a good point. And I'm not here to speculate on Ndamukong Suh. Like I said, free agency is a month away. I don't know what the Lions are going to do. I'm sure they're going to look to bring back their own, which is understandable. But whether or not a player fits within a team goes just beyond the X's and O's. It's also about, from a personality standpoint, do they have enough depth at that position? There are so many different factors. These are the types of things that the Giants are going to evaluate as they make their list on players that they need to go after. Using Stas's premise, and I think he hit on an important point, and I brought this up on some of the previous shows, considering he would be a player that would demand a lot of money on the open market. That's why the salary cap always comes into play when it comes to free agency. The Giants are also going to need to look at some of the other priorities that they need to take care of, and whether that be extending Eli Manning's contract. That's a possibility that's been brought up within the conversation, meaning the media. Team obviously doesn't necessarily talk about those things, but that's been brought up, and that doesn't mean it's going to happen during the course of the offseason, but that involves money. Safeties, there's a number of free agents at that position. Somebody's going to have to play at that spot. They may utilize part of their cap to address that position, whether it be bringing back the Antrell Rolls, the Stevie Browns of the world, or going out and getting other players. A lot of you have brought up maybe bringing in some more depth at the running back position. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, any franchise needs to do this. Do we want to lock up so much money at one position and then hurt ourselves in trying to round out the roster at multiple positions? Because every year you want to add depth, not just the defensive tackle, you want to bring it in elsewhere. So if you bring in one player that brings and eats up that much money, it puts yourself in a very tough position. I'll use the Dallas Cowboys to bring it back to the NFC East as a parallel here. Dallas is in a very tricky position, limited cap space, at least in the last previous years, a little bit more to work with this offseason. But you have Dez Bryant, you have DeMarco Murray, and those are two players that are going to demand a lot of money. It's hard to keep two players that could eat up so much of your cap. every team has those challenges. It's not unique to the Giants. It's not unique to the Lions. It's unique to pretty much everybody around the league. But I think every team needs to ask themselves, if we use up so much cap space on one player, will it then force us to sacrifice depth at other spots? And that, I think, is an important question that everybody always tries to ask. Let's head back to the Lions. Derek is in Atlanta. Derek, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. How's it going today?
Doing well, Derek. How's everything with you?
I'm good. I'd just like to give condolences to the Mara family first and say happy birthday to LT.
Well, so. We echo your sentiments. Appreciate that. What else do you have for us?
All right, so I was listening to the Shakedown show, you know, the one that Shakes has on the show, and he had Prince and Mokomora on there interviewing. And, you know, one of the things is, like, how did the Giants stay together when they went through the losing streak and everything? And he said that basically the coaches, including Coughlin, and the players believe that they beat themselves in a lot of games, and they actually weren't as bad as they thought they were, you know, but they actually beat themselves. So that kind of kept them together because they know if they could straighten out beating themselves, you know, that would, you know, make the record better. Well, one of the reasons why they beat themselves is basically special teams. And I just think that, you know, we focus so much on the draft and the free agency and the line and the offensive line and the defensive line. We need to get rid of these questionable players that we have, like Herzlick and, you know, I like Preston Parker, but he's not – we need to get people in here that if they're going to play, if they're going to be a wide receiver, then they got to be able to be a third wide receiver plus be a dynamic special teams person, not just a fill-in. And like you said, Preston Parker had a good game, but I remember the tragic game he had also with all those drops. So we need to improve special teams. We need to re-sign Weatherford, and we definitely need to put, you know, there's a couple of players that, you know, you might be able to get in the third, fourth round, like Philip Dorsett, Tyler Lockett. You know, you probably heard them be mentioned on the show before, but...
Well, it looks like, Derek, you got some visitors here. You sure you want to – we can put you on hold, and we can wait for you to continue the phone call. I mean, we don't want to interrupt
you. I'm good, but I'm just saying the thing we just need to do is just make sure we just don't neglect it.
Well, Derek, you're right. I mean, I don't think that the Giants have neglected it. I mean, obviously you always want a little bit more consistency out of that department, but, you know, don't forget Odell Beckham. I mean, I think we get caught up when we talk special teams, like you mentioned.
And I don't want Odell Beckham on special teams.
Well, but here's the thing. If you have that type of upside and that type of game changer, you know, why would you want to hold that person back, though?
Because he has nothing to do. He's going to be our number one wide receiver. How many number one wide receivers in the league are playing special teams?
Dez Bryant played special teams.
He catches the balls and brings it back. Once in a blue moon, when the game is on the line, and when the game is on the line and in the fourth quarter and they need a big return, then they put their special teams guy back there. But during the game, he's not catching, you know.
I think it's a generalization, Derek. And listen, I want to try to squeeze in a few more calls. Appreciate the call. I think it's a generalization to say that teams don't use their starters on special teams. I mean, there are a number of teams. The Seahawks, for example, to start the season, it didn't necessarily work out ideally. I mean, they were using Earl Thomas, their starting safety, to make up for Percy Harvin, who wasn't necessarily 100%. Harvin's another guy who is a primary special teams guy, and he is a number one wideout or a number two wideout, depending on how you line him up. So, I mean, you can name a number of teams. Randall Cobb, the Green Bay Packers. To say that if you have a starter, you can't use them on special teams, I think that's misleading because the trend goes in the complete opposite direction when it comes to the NFL. And Beckham, he could do a little bit of everything. You want to be careful. You don't want to wear down your players. But if you have that type of upside, you're doing perhaps a disservice to yourself by holding that player back. And I know a lot of fans, they constantly tweet at me, you know, we need to keep one guy in one area. When you have versatility, you want to take advantage of that versatility. And I'm sure this is one of the things that the Giants are going to discuss during the course of the offseason. But to say that special teams players, it has to be the third or the fourth wide receiver, you can get some activity out of your starters as well. Let's check in with Charlie in Maryland. Charlie, what's happening? Charlie, are you there? Charlie going once. Charlie's a man of very few words. How about...
Hey, I'm right here.
Oh, you're there. All right, we didn't hear you, Charlie. And it's Charlie in Maine. Okay, what's happening, Charlie?
It's Charlie in Maine.
Correct.
How you doing, Lance?
Not a problem. How's everything with you? What you got?
Good. Hey, I got one name for you.
What's the name?
Jason Sehan. That's why you don't put Odell Beckham back there.
Well, but I get
totally
that.
Totally ruined his career.
I
totally
understand,
ruined it.
Charlie, I understand injuries happen, but injuries can happen at any time in the NFL. It's a physical sport. You can never predict them.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't put a guy in harm's way. Now, DeSean Jackson, they didn't have him catching punts every time. When the game was on the line, they'd throw him back there, and that's what they could do with Odell Beckham. When the game is on the line, I agree with Derek. Hey, and I got an audible idea for you. Why don't we, you know, everyone's saying we need another Plaxico Burress. Well, we got one on our team, and I think Donnell would be a Plaxico Burress. Let him lose 25, 30 pounds. Make him a wide receiver because that's really what he is. He's not a tight end. He doesn't block. He can't block well. Turn him into a wide receiver, a big wide receiver. He's got a long stride. He's pretty fast. He's athletic. He used to be a quarterback. I think that's what we should turn him into. What do you think, Lance?
Well, I mean, I think it really depends on how much more depth you see at that position during the course of this offseason. And remember, a lot of teams use double tight end formations where one guy will step back to block and the other guy can run out and run routes. We've also seen, like, the Jimmy Grahams of the world, you know, we classify players at tight ends, but they really are moved around so much that they could perhaps be classified as a wide receiver. I think you're getting so caught up in the position more so than perhaps how the personnel is used.
Well, I just think he's not. I just think he could be a big wide receiver like Plaxico. I don't think we should utilize him as a tight end because the Giants want a tight end not to just to be a pass catcher. If it was a situation where the Giants would just use him as a pass catching tight end, I'd say great. But they don't do that. They want him to block too, and they want him to be, you know, all around tight end, and he isn't. So what I'm saying is utilize his strength. Make him a wide receiver, a big wide receiver, and believe me, I think that would work out pretty well. But that's just my opinion.
No,
hey, Lance, thanks for taking my call. I know you're running late.
We are up against the clock, and I appreciate you being observant to that. Let's try to squeeze in one more guy. Richie is on Long Island. Richie, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing? Just first-time caller. Big fan of the show.
Oh,
big fan of the Giants.
So what's on your mind, Richie?
Just wanted to say, in this defensive scheme that Steve Spagnuolo is going to bring, what safety would you rather keep, Quinton Demps or Stevie Brown?
Well, I mean, they're both familiar with the system, at least that was from the previous regime. It's hard to say. I think a lot depends on Stevie Brown's health and what another offseason could do for him. I still think that you need to evaluate him from that perspective, given the seriousness of the knee injury that he suffered. With respect to Quinton Demps, you know, Demps, remember, has got a little bit more versatility, keep in mind, Richie, because he can help out on special teams. So, you know, I think those are the types of things that the Giants are going to have to evaluate. There's a little bit more versatility in the department of what Demps brings to the table, whereas, you know, Brown's primarily going to be a safety guy. However, on coverage teams, you could certainly get value out of him. But once again, it depends on how healthy he is and how much you can get out of him based on what that knee presents strength-wise during the course of the offseason.
Yeah, because I like both safeties, but I know that Stevie Brown was getting caught up and giving up big plays this this past season. I don't know if it's because he was coming back from injury and wasn't used to playing and was getting used to it. But I like Stevie Brown as a safety. He proved that, you know, the year before he made some good interceptions and good plays. But
he was extremely opportunistic that year. That was a big reason why he put his name on the map with those 8 interceptions. I think injury is part of the reason why he had some ups and downs in the early stages of the season. And that's why I think health is going to be an important part of the evaluation period with respect to Brown.
Yes, I'm really optimistic about next year. This team has a really good talent. I'm not in the Giants facility. Please tell me somewhere there it has the word consistency. This team has had flashes really of being great, but then of being not consistent as well. You know, that's one thing I'm just hoping for next season. I keep trying to say that to other people, just consistency. That's all we want to see, but I know this team has a lot of talent with Reuben Randall, Larry Donnell, I like what I see out of Devin Kennard as well.
Well, that consistency is important for any team, Richie, and appreciate the phone call, and that is the goal for the Giants. I don't think it needs to be put up on the wall. I think that this franchise and the team understands consistency is what helps you get to the postseason, so that certainly is going to be the goal come 2015. We're going to wrap up the program here. Appreciate all the phone calls during the course of the Big Blue Kickoff live phone call period, and appreciate all the tweets. Any tweets that I didn't have an opportunity to address on this program, I'll certainly look to address off the air, so I will continue to monitor that. If you have a question or a comment, you can reach me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every weekday here at noon Eastern on Giants.com. We will speak to you again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
One, get up.